scriptures this morning, Hebrews chapter 10. If you could turn your Bibles there, please. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to read verses 16 to 25. We're going to read this responsibly. And once you find the chapter and the verse, if I could ask you to stand, please, if you're able, to give honor to the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 to 25. I'm going to read the even verses. We'll read the odd verses together, please. Before we read the scripture, I want to introduce our missionary. We have a visiting missionary here, Brother Javier Garcia. Can you raise your hand, please? Please try to know him and greet him. And he has a table out there. Get his prayer card. He's a missionary in Vietnam. Thank you for being with us this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16 to 25. We're going to read the odd verses together responsibly. Verse 16, the Bible says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time where we can hear your word, and I pray, Father, that you will use the message, use Pastor Myers, to give us the truth from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Sweet love. make sure, if it doesn't sound good, which make sure, work on that. Okay, look at, keep your Bibles open to Hebrews. We're starting a series for the next next 5 or 6 weeks, and we're calling it God's Perspective on Stewardship. Now, when we think of stewardship, what do you typically think of? Money. But you know, there's a lot more to stewardship than money. Now, we will talk a little bit about money and finances in the weeks to come, not necessarily even from an aspect of giving, but just proper understanding about it. But this morning, I want to talk about church, the importance of being together in church. This also marks the beginning of our For to Flourish campaign. And this is when we encourage people to be faithful to the different services of the church. I have found in my life, and I like Ryan's testimony, that's why we had him come back, even if you were here on Thursday night, because he mentioned, a lot of things that God did in his life, things that he learned, his wife, his family, it's all a result of the fact that, he was at church. I was taught as a new Christian that we should be at church every time the doors are open.
Amen.
Now, we do open them up early in the morning each week for the staff to come into work. You don't need to be here for that, okay? Unless you like to vacuum or wipe down walls, clean restrooms, you're more than welcome to come. But that's talking about when it's open for a church service. If this is my church and I'm a church member, I want to be here whenever the doors are open. And I have found in my life that has helped me.
Amen.
And that has helped me to grow. I think of many of the decisions and the key points in my life where I made a decision to do something that was right, inevitably it is tied to a church service or a message that I heard. And so it's very important. I think a Christian needs to grow past being just what we call a Sunday morning believer. And that's a good start. Usually when people come, the first thing they'll do is they'll get faithful on Sunday mornings. And by the way, that's where I started. I wasn't going to church at all. I was kind of maybe Easter or whatever, but I started coming for a month on Sunday mornings. And after that month, I kind of realized that I kind of need to make a decision. Is this going to be an integral part of my life, or is it just going to be something I do when I have time? And I decided that I wanted my relationship with God to be something more than just coming to church, and I wanted to grow. And so I made the only decision I knew. No one ever, they didn't have For to Flourish. The church I went to, I just made a decision. I'll just start coming to all the church services, and we'll see where it goes from there. And so I did that. Now, some people, and some of you are newer here, you look at it and say, are you kidding me? Some come to Sunday mornings and like, okay, we'll add Sunday school. And by the way, I think everybody ought to be in an adult Bible class. And you say, but they think it weird that you would come back on a Sunday night. By the way, we're making it easy for you to get started on For to Flourish today. It's going to be in 30 minutes after we stuff you with lunch, okay? But they think it weird. And then to come back on Thursday night, that's just strange. But yet, we don't find that strange when we're following our sports teams. You know, baseball plays 6 or 7 days a week, and it's like watching grass grow, okay? We went to a game a few weeks ago, and I didn't know who was pitching. When we got there, the Angels were playing. It's like the other pitcher was Verlander. I'm like, this is going to be a boring game. And it was, okay? But basketball, you like basketball, your team will play 3 or 4 times a week. The only one that isn't is football. Well, actually now they play on Thursday night, they play on Sundays, and then they play on Monday nights. Yep. But to think to come to, and by the way, you'll sit there and watch all of those.
Yep.
But you think it's strange to come to church to more than one service. I think a lot of it is just the way we think. By the way, I'm looking at the time. We'll go a little bit past 11:30. I'll adjust the service schedule for the next service so we're not here as long as we can get to our fellowships. Our theme for the summer, as I mentioned, is I love church. Now, it's not I love my church. Now, we'll have I love my church Sunday in a month. But it's I love church because I want you to love the whole concept of church.
Amen.
What God has given us. And that's what we want to work on. I believe if you fall in love with the Lord, we will love His institution, which is the church. Now, as we look at our text this morning, the book of Hebrews teaches about really what that which is better. It talks about the different Old Testament laws and the sacrifices and those types of things. And it talks about how Jesus Christ and what he did and how the new covenant is way better than the old. And it's way better than anything else. He shares some of the blessings that are associated with Christ's once and for all sacrifice for our sins. If you read through the verses, and it's not our message for today, he talks about the fact that because of Christ's death on the cross, we have a perfect standing with God. Thank God for that. Now, you say, well, I still sin, but if you're saved, all your sins are forgiven. And when it comes to our eternal standing with God, we have a perfect standing. He talks about the law, his word. It's not something written on stone, but it's written in our hearts and it's active in our minds. Talks about the facts that our former sins before salvation are not just forgiven, they are forgotten from an eternal perspective. And because of that, we can have the confidence that we can come directly to God. We don't need to go through Mary, which is heresy. We don't need to go through a saint. We can go straight to God because of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then because of that, we can have a close relationship in our lives. Now, he does all of this for us. And then when we get to verse 23, he admonishes us to hold fast to our faith. That faith that we have, the faith that's been given to us, the Lord Jesus Christ, which is better than anything else anybody can offer. He says, hold fast. In verse 23, he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Yeah. By the way, there are a lot of people that waver in their faith. One week, man, they're ready to be a missionary to Antarctica. The next week, you couldn't find them to come to church if you sent the FBI to look for them. People waver in their faith. One day, the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest thing in the world. The next day, they've had enough. But he doesn't want us. He wants us to hold fast to the profession of our faith. Hold fast means to hold back from going away. Keep ourselves from getting lost. Profession means the confession of our faith. Because of our new standing in Christ and the new and better covenant, we are to be rock solid in our faith. And make sure that we never go back from it. Now, that's a process. Salvation is not a process, it's an act. It's a one-time thing where we trust Christ and eternal life is there and it's there for good. But when it comes to the growth in our faith, it's a process that we take. So, how can we hold fast to the profession of our faith and make sure that we don't get away from God? Now, there are many things, but he gives us one of the key ones right here. Verse 23, he tells us, hold fast the profession of our faith. Before that, he's mentioning all these blessings we have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how do we keep from going away from God? This is where the church comes in. He stresses the importance of our church attendance right after he challenges us to stay faithful in the faith. Not this, you know, some people are like, you know what? I don't need church. It's just Jesus and me. As long as I have Jesus, everything is okay. Well, if you have Jesus, you'll have the church. Because after all, the church was his idea. One of the key things that will determine what type of Christian you are or will be is this. How faithful and engaged are you to your church? If you're not faithful to church, if you're not, and I mean engaged, I mean just an active part of your church, it is going to affect your faith.
Absolutely.
Far too many people, you know, they want to go somewhere where it's just, let me just slip in on Sunday morning and slip out, and I can check it off that I gave God that what he wanted, and I'll just go my own way and do my own thing. That's not a dynamic faith. And that's not the kind of faith that's going to last.
No.
Now, you see, if you're newer, I'm not getting on you. I'm trying to teach us something. If you come on Sunday morning only, you're just going to have a Sunday morning only kind of faith. If you come on Sunday morning and Sunday night, your faith's going to increase a little. If you come to more of the services, your faith's going to increase a lot. We'll say, well, what about your steps of faith? Number one, the second step is devotion. You know where I learned devotion? You know I was encouraged to keep my devotion? Is when I went to church. I had no clue about it, but when I sat in the church service, the pastor preached about it and he encouraged me. That's where I learned that I needed to spend time with God, alone with him. a church. Hebrews is saying it's a key to holding fast to your faith. The answer is this. To me, the easiest step of obedience you can take in the Christian life after salvation is coming to church. It's not that hard. Here's how you do it. The alarm clock goes off, you get up. Okay? Get here on time, by the way. A little bit early. But the alarm clock, you get up, here's a key, you get dressed. Now that one's important. Don't come in your pajamas. And then you get in your car or get a ride or get on the bus and you come. That is a very easy step of obedience. Now he's telling us, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. The word church means called out assembly. You can't have church at home. Okay? By the way, when I was sick over those times, I had church at home. I was watching it on either the iPad or the television we have actually has internet connection, and you could watch it on the television. And I was going to a lot more church services because I was sitting there, I had nothing to do. So I'd watch two or three different church services. I'd watch them on the East Coast. Can I just tell you something? It's nothing like being at church. Okay? Now, I didn't have to tithe, amen, but it was nothing like being at church. I tithed here, simple give works, whether you're at home or not. But it's so easy, but it's vitally important. Now, church is simple, but how does church help? Let me give you several reasons very, very briefly, please. Number one, it helps me to have faith that's encouraged. Verse 24, and let us consider one another. It tells us, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. You know where I'm provoked to do love and good works? It's at church. Now, I'm provoked when I read my Bible, but when we're at church and we're in the midst of it, it helps us to do the two things that God told us to do, love and good works. Now, if I look at that, what are the two greatest commands? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. That's love and good works. Because we love God, we'll do good works. You know what our good works revolve around? Our good works revolve around helping others. You want your faith to be encouraged to do the two things that Jesus said are the two greatest commands in the Bible? Come faithfully to church. Amen. I guarantee you this, a person that's not faithful to church will not be faithful to helping other people. Yeah. Will not be faithful to doing good works. Their love for God will lack a little bit. Church encourages us in both of those areas to get it together and to do it. That's the basics of our faith. We are to love God. Why I love God, it's church I can't stand. Then you really don't love God very much. In Acts it says that Jesus Christ died for the church. I met a man one time out soul winning. He goes, see, you got to be a church member to go to heaven because Jesus died for the church. I'm like, man, that's not what he's talking about. He's just telling the people of the church that he died for them. And other places in the Bible, it tells us he died for everybody. Don't try to take a verse and pull it out of scripture. You'll end out like some idiot on the internet. Okay? No. But if we love God, we're going to love the institution that he created. That's the church. But we're also supposed to love others. If you look at the Bible, there's several verses in Titus and Ephesians that talk about salvation. And right after it talks about salvation, it talks about doing works. And so the being church helps me to do that. Number two, it helps me to become faithfully engaged. Look at verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking. You know what forsaking means? That word just sounds bad. When someone forsakes you. But it means forsake, abandon. That sounds worse. When we think of abandoning, we think of someone having a baby and just laying it on somebody's doorstep and leaving. They've abandoned. It reminds me of a father that has children, and for whatever reason, he leaves his wife and he leaves his children and is never a part of their life. Call it a deadbeat dad, but that's someone who has abandoned their family. Yep. We don't think very well of people like that. But he says here, don't abandon the assembling of yourselves together. Don't forsake that. We're supposed to be at church. And when I'm there, it helps me become more fully engaged in what's going on. Don't just be an attender, become assimilated. Now, what's assimilated? Assimilated is when you become a part of something. You're a part of it, and you're a fully functioning member of it.
Amen.
That means you don't just come to church. This is your church, and you're involved. And whatever the church is doing, you're doing. And you're, like Brother Rawl mentioned, you know, his friends are people from the church, and his life is kind of built around the church. Not that it's wrong to go with family or those other things. It's just, man, when you have so many friends in the church, that's who you hang around with. And you're just a function. Look, if the church is doing it, I'm doing it.
Amen.
And I'm a part of this church, and it's a part of my life. You say, I don't like this church. You're just trying to get it to do it here. Then go find a church you can do it.
Amen.
Make sure they have the right kind of doctrine.
Amen.
But you can leave our church, but you're not going to get away from the fact that you're supposed to be a part of a church and not just an attender. You're supposed to be assimilated.
Amen.
Okay? This means you become part of the church and a participant in the church. And being at church will encourage you to do that the more that you are there. Number three, it helps me to ignore forsaking examples. Those next six words, as the manner of some is. There's a group of people that are like, you know, I have Jesus, I don't need the church. There's a man that many years ago, we read his books, and he talked a lot about church growth and helping the church, and he was kind of the guru. And then he comes out and says, you know, that's we don't need church anymore. The new thing is the home church. We'll just have church at home. He's a knucklehead. He may think he knows church growth, but he doesn't know the Bible. The Bible says we're supposed to be together. We're supposed to meet together. But we can always look to those who left. By the way, a sad part of church, not just our, any church, there will always be people who do not stay steadfast in their faith, and they walk away from God. Listen, don't look at them as an example. Oh, you'll look at their Instagram post, and they look happy. But I've seen some of them. I've been here. This is not my first rodeo. I've been here for a while, and I'll see them out and about, and you talk to them, they're completely different. Whereas before you would talk to them and they were excited about the things of God and what they were doing for God. Now they're going to talk about things that have no meaning at all.
Absolutely.
And by the way, you'll see it in their families.
Yeah.
Okay? It's no guarantee, but look, you can't guarantee anything with your children, but I'll tell you what, you can almost guarantee it, and you can have a lot better chance if you just stay faithful to the Lord and stay faithful to church. I know this, if it's hard to do it in church, it's impossible to do it without the church and without God. I would be afraid to raise children outside of the church. It's just so much out there. But don't look, oh, they look happy. I saw their Instagram picture. Look, no one posts what they're feeling at 2 in the morning on their Instagram. No one's going to get up there and say, today was a bad day. Okay, that's why no one follows you, John. But don't look at those examples. Number four, it helps me to receive fierce exhorting. He says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more.
Yeah.
All of us need encouragement.
Yeah.
All of us.
We,
all but one. All of us need that encouragement. We just need that getting here. And by the way, sometimes encouragement is a kick in the rear.
Yeah.
Exhorting.
Yeah.
Okay? Preach the word, you know, be instant, reprove, rebuke, and then exhort, okay? Sometimes the kids need a kick in the rear before they're sent on their way, right? It's like, look, you know, you ever take your kids out when they're little? Remember we take them out when we would take pastors and stuff out, and it's like, we'd be in the car, and I'd look at them and say, don't you dare breathe wrong. Don't you dare. And they're like, yes, you better not even do one thing wrong. Or, well, I'm going to cloud up and rain. You'll be suspended for the rest of your life. And then afterwards, it's like, hey, you did a really good job. Okay. But sometimes, look, we need all of it.
Amen.
Sometimes we need a kick in the rear. Other times we need a hug.
Yeah.
Okay? I think we hug too much, but we need all of it. Where do we get that? We get that at church. Church. Some, we have struggles in relationships. Maybe it's our relationship with God. Maybe we're experiencing some difficulties in our life and at work. Maybe we have some health issues. Maybe we're struggling with some of the things in the past, and sometimes we just feel like giving it up. Listen, Church is a good place to get that.
Yes,
you know, I've known people say, I'm going through some problems right now, so I'm not going to come to church until I get the problem settled. Listen, you're not going to get the problem settled if you leave church. That's going to help you get those problems settled.
Yes, sir.
If you get some good friends, they'll help you. Number five, it helps me to comprehend the final ending. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Approaching. What does that mean? I think it's talking about as we see that the end is coming. In our second service, you need to be here. We're going to start Revelation. And I've been studying Revelation now for two and a half, 3 months.
Amen.
And I've read Revelation over and over and over. I've looked at it. I've studied it. I've probably read about 12 or 13 commentaries. I've read other things about the end times. And one time, I've listened to all kinds of messages, one thing, it's like, it's encouraging.
Amen.
Now, you look at all the nonsense that's coming. Thank God we're not going to be here.
Right.
Now, internet people, they want to be here. God bless them. I'm not going to be here.
Yeah.
And if you're saved, neither are you.
Yeah.
And you know what's good? It's like, we win. You know, we see all the nonsense that's going on sometimes, and it's like, man, it's just, there's too much drama in this world. Hey, we're going to leave that for somebody else.
Right.
I gave this story, I think it was in college. I'm not sure where I gave it. If I gave it here, then it's Alzheimer's coming in. But I was listening to a guy, and he was preaching, and he says he had a brother-in-law that had a heart condition, but he was a sports fanatic, and he would always watch his college basketball team. And he had some relatives that actually played on the team. And it's like, when they would lose, it's like literally his blood pressure would shoot up. And he was seeing the doctor, and the doctor's like, listen, your heart's bad. You got to calm down here. And his wife said, when he watches basketball, I'm afraid he's going to have a heart attack and die. And the doctor's like, you need to really calm down. So here's what they did. His wife started recording all the basketball games. And then, after the game was over, she would find out who won. And if his team won, she would say, okay, you can watch the game, they won. Because no matter how bad it looked, they were down by 15 or 20, it didn't matter. He didn't get stressed because he knew they were going to win. You know, that's how it is in this world, right? Listen, everything out there says we lose. I mean, you know, no one can do anything right. Everything's wrong and all the drama. But you know what? When we look at the end times, you know what we understand? We won. This world is dark and bleak. But can I just tell you something? Eternity is not. Eternity is good. And sometimes we need to be at a place where we focus things at things not from just what's going on in this world, but we focus on things from eternal perspective. And church helps us to do that. So what I want us to understand this morning is that church is important. If we understand that our church attendance is a vital link to us retaining our faith, and that's what he was saying, I believe, that's part of what he was saying, and staying strong in the Lord, we would be more faithful. So what am I encouraging us to do? Listen, be faithful.
Amen.
Don't find a reason to miss. Sometimes people are like, oh, it's summertime, I'll just kind of back off a little. You may not afford to be able to do that. Your faith may count on it.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying church is the end all. If you come to church and you don't walk with God, you're just going to struggle still, okay? Don't take me wrong here. But the point is, you can do all that other stuff. You won't do it regularly if you don't have a church. And some of you that have been coming, you need to step up and come to some other services.
Yep.
You need to be a part of the church and plant yourself in the church. It's like a plant. Some plants, you put them in a little pot, and the pot limits the growth of the roots. And so it's going to limit how much that plant's going to grow. But if you take that out of the pot, you take it in a huge yard and you put it and you plant it, the root system's going to be bigger, it's going to flourish more, and it's going to grow bigger. Some of us pot ourselves. I just want a little bit. You know what you need to do? You need to plant yourself in the church. And that'll help you. Why? Because your faith may depend on it. We don't just do Four to Flourish because we have nothing else to do. We don't have other services just because there's nothing else to do. I just know that it's hard to make it as a Sunday morning Christian. We need to step up.
Amen.
And we need a place where we have our life, we have our friends, we have our family, as it were, and we encourage and push each other to go forward. You're going to get it somewhere, by the way. Everybody has a church of some type. You know, some people, their church is the bowling alley. Not that it's wrong to bowl. Now, the way some of you bowl, that's wrong. But it's like, they get in all these leagues. We used to play softball, and I love playing softball with our guys on Friday night. We play these teams, and it's like, they're playing in three or four leagues a week. And it's like, that's their church. You know what? I want my church to be something spiritual. Because church is an assembly. We're a called out assembly of spiritual believers.
Yes, sir.
And church is important. Let's stand together this